We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome back, everyone, to Redemption Church. We're here in Plano, Texas, and we're having a good time, aren't we?
Yeah!
Amen. God's good. Let's give that hand clap to God right here. Isn't He good?
Amen.
I enjoyed worshiping with you guys today. Awesome. Greetings to everyone joining us online. Hello, all you beautiful people online. I'm sure if you showed up, we would just be blown away by your beauty. Come see us sometime in Plano. We'd love to see all those beautiful online people. We hope you're blessed by the Word of God today, online people. We love you. My name's Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to be lead pastor here at Redemption Church and to share the Word of God with you today. What is the name of this series?
Chasing Carrots.
We are in the second week of our Chasing Carrots series. Y'all get the reference right?
Yeah.
That carrots could be used to manipulate a donkey or a horse, maybe something that doesn't want to go somewhere. So you put this out in front of it, and maybe you could get it to walk in front of it. And there's two things about it. It's endless because they never quite reach it. It's always elusive,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
And then guess what? It's just a carrot. They walk miles for just a carrot.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking about chasing carrots. We're in the second week of the Chasing Carrots series. The culture of this world is trying to grab your attention.
Right.
It's trying to grab your focus, much like a carrot on a string grabs the attention and manipulates the direction. There are forces in this world that want to dangle a carrot in front of you. Last time we gathered, we talked about fame. We talked about some crazy online fame, some Instagram famous, some internet famous, some YouTube famous, right? Breadface, right? Y'all remember Breadface?
Yeah.
Did anybody go subscribe to Breadface's YouTube channel?
No.
Some lady just throws her face into bread and she's making money. She's doing pretty good for herself. I don't know. It's crazy stuff. Wherever you are, Breadface, we hope you find Jesus. All right. It's an important message. I'd encourage everybody to go check out the first week of the Chasing Carrots series. You go to our website, just head on over to redemptionplano.com, look under sermons, and you will find it. Today, we're going to be talking about a carrot called money and things. Everybody say money and things. Now, I want to make you promise at the very beginning of this sermon. Can I make you a promise?
Yeah.
I'm going to make good on this promise. Y'all listen. We're going to be talking about money, but we're not gearing up to ask you for money. So you just relax, okay? You know, sometimes, you'll be happy about that. Sometimes churches, you know, they throw out a huge money sermon, and what do you know? They've also got a big building campaign. They're going to follow up with that sermon. Nothing like that's happening. We've already taken up our offering. We're not going to take up another offering. We're not going to ask you for money, but we're going to talk to you about money. Is that all right? Is that okay? Well, you trust me. My motive is pure, all right? Here's why we're going to talk about money. Money is one of your leading causes of stress and worry. Say amen if it's true.
Amen.
All right, we better talk about it. The Bible definitely talks about it. Jesus definitely talks about money, all right? We think a lot about money. We worry about money. We dream about money. Money and the things we buy are a huge carrot in our culture. You realize every time you turn on the TV or the internet or just drive down the street, the advertising all around you is just going, carrots, carrots, come get this, come listen to this, come buy this image, come do this, come drink this, come wear this, come act like this, come vote for this. All of that is one big carrot. Do not be duped by it. Far too many people, I mean intelligent people, people like you and me, people like you and me are just completely duped by the advertising. It's crazy. We got to break that chain. Please allow me to talk about this very important topic today. Don't shut me out and don't think that I have any improper motive by talking about money. The subject impacts you and it impacts me. So we need to hear about it today. As we dive in, I would like to get your input. How many of you wouldn't mind being rich. Can I see a show of hand? Now that you've mentioned it, Pastor Chris, I've never thought about such a thing, but I wouldn't mind having Scrooge McDuck money where I'm just like swimming in it.
Yeah.
Anybody watch DuckTales? Scrooge McDuck would just jump into the coins and just swim through them. He would come up out of them and like shoot it out of his mouth. It was crazy stuff. Actually, science says that you would probably die if you tried to dive into coins like that. But you wouldn't mind being rich. Am I in the right great place today? I've got people that, yeah, okay, well, you wouldn't mind it. All right. So, next question. Do you know someone who is rich? Raise your hand if you think you know somebody that's rich. Maybe you know somebody that's rich, know somebody personally. Anybody know Bill Gates? You got his number on speed dial, anybody? Anybody know a Dallas Cowboy or something like that? No, nobody? Anybody know Adrienne Infield? She works at Einstein. She is raking it in. Einstein's bagels. All right. Well, now this next one's a little bit personal. You think about this for a second. Have you ever looked at a rich person and thought, you know what? If I were ever rich like them, I would do a better job of being rich than them. Have you ever thought that? Raise your hand if you're honest. Come on, be honest. You've looked at people that have more money than you and said, I don't want to take their money or anything, but if I were ever rich, I'd be so much better rich person than they are. Okay, we can be honest with that, right? We've all thought that. Oh my goodness, right? Oh my goodness. So, how many of you are really rich? Raise your hand. That's the last question. That's a big question. Are you really rich? Anybody rich in here? Look around here. Oh, my goodness. Hey, guys, I want to hang out with you guys later, all right? Y'all hang out with me anytime. Some of you didn't raise your hand. That's okay. Here's what we know. We aren't really financially rich. We're not like financially like well off. Nobody in here bought a yacht this week, right? Okay, excellent. My goodness. We aren't really rich, but we'd sure like to be rich. Is that fair?
Yes.
That's fair. None of us would be mad if God made us rich. So we are constantly drawn to what we don't have. We're constantly drawn to being rich. We aren't rich, but we sure like to be rich. And so we're really susceptible to this carrot dangling out in front of us. If I could just have more money, if I could just have more stuff. And maybe you don't say it like that, but you definitely think it that way. If I could only have the new cell phone, if I could only have the new house, if I could only have the upgrade, if I could only have the new car, if I could only have the new clothes, if I could only have the promotion, if I could only have more money, if I could only have those things. This carrot is elusive. It's always just out of your hand, and it's endless because you don't control the carrot. The carrot controls you. You got me? You follow me on this. All right. So here is a poll taken about what people would be willing to do to have $5 million. Everyone say $5 million like I just said it. $5 million. All right. Right, this is what people would be willing to do to have $5 million. Let's see where you fall in this. 54% of people would listen only to country music for the rest of their life. Did we lose you, Leroy? We lost you, Leroy. Leroy's like, you just keep that money. Oh, yeah, I don't have time for country music. No. Who loves Leroy in here?
Yeah.
Amen. We love you, Leroy. This is weird. 42% would have their teeth removed. 42% said, yeah, sure, I'll buy new teeth afterwards, right? Well, okay, it gets a little dark. Get ready. All right, 50% would allow a random person to die. Random person to die. The button test or the box, whatever that idea, right? Would you... 50%, just a random person to die. Whoa. 50%. 24%, this is really surprising to me. 24% would live in solitude for the next 20 years for $5 million. $5 million and you don't see another person for 20 million years. I guess they think they're just going to enjoy Amazon and watch Netflix for 20 years. I don't know. Some of y'all are like, my kids have been driving me crazy. 20-year vacation sounds great for $5 million. Let's do it. So we want to be rich. We want to be. It's all right. And we're willing to do strange things to be rich. I remember I was a waiter, and I realized, gosh, the nights I make the most money are the nights I'm practically losing my mind. And the nights where it's easy, I'm making no money. And it's like, what do I want? Do I want to keep my sanity or do I want to make money? And so I had to get out of the waiting business because to make money, I had to lose my sanity. It was just terrible. We are willing to do crazy, strange things, unhealthy things, bizarre things. We are led strange places for the love of money. Gallup did a poll on what do we consider rich. I want to talk about this for a second. What do you consider rich? What is that number? What is that? They polled people who make $30,000 a year on what amount of yearly income would make them feel rich. And the majority of those people said $74,000 a year. So people who made 30, everyone say 30. They make 30K. They said they would feel rich if they made 74K, all right? So then they polled people who made 50,000 a year, 50K, and they said, the majority of them said, you know what, if I made 100K, then I would feel rich. You seeing a pattern there? All right, so some of you make that much money. So one of those numbers, right? Some of you make that much money. And you would tell us that you don't feel rich. And that once you reach that new criteria, that new number, the money doesn't stretch as far as you would think it would. See, here's what I know is absolutely true. The people that are sitting at 30K and go, if I could just get to 74K. One day they keep working hard, they'll get to 74K. And they will, here's what won't happen. Well, praise God, I made 74K. I'm happy now. And I'm fulfilled now. And I don't need to make a dollar more. Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Because the person at 50, once they get to 100K, they're the same way. Because what is this thing? It's a carrot, and it's endless, and it's elusive. And some of you, we all had these thoughts in our life. You know, just doing some simple math, if I just made this much money, I used to have little ideas like, if somehow I won a huge amount of money, and I put it, what amount of money would be enough to just put it in the bank account and get the interest off of it and just live off the interest, and what would that work? And it's like, oh man, $50,000 a year, I could make that happen. Now I'm sitting here with three kids and I'm like, there's no way we'd be in the poorhouse. They're eating me out of house and home. $50,000, are you crazy? Because it's not enough. It's not enough. Here's what, you can double your money and it's not enough. You can triple your money and it's not enough. Can I tell you, long story short, it's not enough. I don't care what number you make it, it's not enough. I think it's Rockefeller. One of his greatest quotes is, he's on his deathbed and he's like, what do you want next? What do you want after you've accomplished so much? What are you going to go after next? And he says, another dollar. Billionaire. What do you want next? I want the next dollar. What is he going to want after that dollar? Can you figure that out? Yeah, the next dollar. So they asked people with $2 million in assets, what would be rich? They have $2 million in assets. They said, about $5 million in assets. Then they will feel rich. Here's the thing. Even people that are rich don't feel rich. Nobody feels rich. In other words, the world's understanding of being rich means to have more. Can you say this sentence with me? Pop that up on the screen. The world's understanding of being rich means to have more. Say it one more time. The world's understanding of being rich means to have more. What do you need? More. What do you need? More. It's like you're trying to fill a bucket that never fills up because you always need, say it, more. No one in the poll says that they feel rich already. No one in the poll says that. Feel rich. No one said they felt rich. They all said that they needed to double what they had. Then they'd feel rich. We want to be rich. We don't feel rich, so we pursue more. What is rich? Well, let me tell you, rich is a moving target. We've already told you that. You get it? Everybody agree. Rich is a moving target. Absolutely. Rich always means more than we have right now. Remember being younger and thinking, if I could just cross that threshold of income. How many of you had that thought? If I could just, and here you are. I'm talking to people right now that you're living in the nicest house you've ever lived in. Some of you are in this room. That's you. Some of you are making more money than you ever made. Some of you have actually doubled what your starting wage was at your current job. It has doubled in your field. I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to people that you have actually doubled that number. Is it enough yet? The line always moves. The world always has a moving line and a moving carrot. What do we need to be happy? What do we need to be satisfied? Most people would say, just a little bit more. Let's look at the Word of God together. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke 12, 15. Jesus says, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of, someone say it,
greed.
All kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. He says, watch out. And somebody yell, watch out.
Watch out.
I mean, if there's a bus coming and I'm right in the way, you would yell what?
Watch out.
Be on your guard. This is intense here. You need to watch out like the bus veering down your grandmother. Watch out. That kind of intensity against greed. Man, we don't have enough sermons about greed, do we? Jesus was pretty intense and passionate against greed. You need to be on guard against greed. It's almost like greed is something you have to be on guard against because it's coming for you. It's going to get its hooks in you. So you need to watch out. You need to be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And then he says this amazing sentence. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. Life. This is Jesus talking. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He's telling us life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus was warning us about our culture nearly 2,000 years in advance, wasn't he? Does that sound like our world right now? Oh, you bet. Our world tells us that what we need is what we don't have. I know exactly what you need. You don't have it. I've got it in the back, though. I can sell it to you. Here it is. I'll give you a great deal. In fact, if you order now, you'll have two, right?
Yeah.
Literally, that is the infomercial, right?
Right?
Not one, but two. I mean, and you're like, oh my gosh, where is my phone? I've got to call these people right now, right? This is how we're doing. What you need is what you don't have. That's the message of the world. It's always focused on what you don't have. Jesus tells us that life is not found in the pursuit of the things you don't have. It's not found in the pursuit of more. Jesus then tells them the powerful parable story about a farmer who has the most successful year of his life. He has a crop that blows away every other crop he ever had. Record-breaking year as a farmer, and he considers what he should do with his newfound success. success and his newfound wealth. What should I do? And you ever been in that place? You have the promotion and you realize, now what should I do with this extra money? What should I do with the new blessing that I have? What should I do with the more that I finally got? This is what this guy's doing. Now look in this parable. The farmer in Luke 12 decides to tear down his barns. These barns had been overflowing with produce, right? Success. And he decides, you know what I'll do? I will tear down these barns and I will build brand new, bigger barns. Everyone say bigger.
Bigger.
The farmer is thinking, you know what? I can't be happy with what I have accomplished. I must pursue
more.
You're with me. Great. But here is what God says to the farmer. Verse 20. God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Next verse. "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Not rich toward God. If you have your Bible, you underline that. Not rich toward God. God was not mad at the guy for having success. God was not mad at the guy because he had achieved a really great year. God was not mad at him that he was wealthier than he was last year. God was angry at the farmer because he was not rich toward God. Does this make sense? Am I interpreting this correctly? Do you agree? Say amen.
Amen.
If you do. All right, I'm glad you agree. God's mad at us when we are rich in the wrong things. God is mad at us if we are rich in iPhones and Samsung Galaxies, but poor in relationship with him. God is mad at us if we are rich in going to the movie theater, if we're rich in Amazon Prime, if we're rich on whatever else you can find out there, but we are poor on a relationship with him. He will say these two words to such a person: "You fool. One day your soul will be demanded of you." God was not mad at the harvest. God was not mad at the barns being torn down. He was not mad at a vision of having bigger barns. He's not mad at any of that. God was not mad at the wealth, but judgment fell because the farmer was not rich in the things that mattered most, the things of God. The farmer thought he needed bigger barns. And in some ways, right? Right? Success, you know, if we did this well, wow, if we had bigger barns. I get it. God's not wrong. God's not angry with his thought process in that. You understand me?
Yeah.
If you see a need in your life and go, you know, I'm doing this right now, but I've got like a bottleneck in my infrastructure and I could do better, and you go ahead. Go ahead and work on that stuff. That's great. But that's not what his issue is with here. His issue is that he's poor in God. The farmer failed to see what he truly needed. And that's us, because we think so much about money. We think so much about the job. We think so much about the materialistic thing that we want. And all the while, we just go through another service and we don't give more of ourselves to God. And we haven't shared our faith with our friends. And we haven't walked into the calling that God has on us. Don't you realize that's the most important thing? That's so much more important thing than buying the brand new Yeezys. Did I say that right? Yeezys, their shoes. No one. Scott's not here. Scott, I needed you today. Yeezys, I think they're really expensive shoes. Don't quote me on it. I got good news for you. Everyone say good news.
Good news.
Everyone's getting Yeezys. Yeezys fall from the ceiling. No, that's not it. The good news is you are rich. You are rich. That's good news. Now, y'all can just sit there and yawn, but really, if you found a winning lottery ticket, you'd come unglued a little bit. Oh, come on. I find $5 on the road, and I'm like, oh, I found it. That's me. But, man, if someone just called you up and said, hey, an uncle you never knew passed away, oh, that's so terrible, and you are filthy rich, oh, that's so terrible. Now, you may not feel rich,
You didn't know your uncle. Okay, just back off, all right? It's all right. You didn't even know the guy, but you're rich. You may not feel rich, right? I'm talking to people, right? I'm talking to the right people. You don't feel rich. You may not even believe me when I call you rich, but you are. Let's get some perspective. You need perspective on things, I find. More than 3 billion people in this world live on $2 a day or less. That's what they live on. Not they're not being skimpy on things. They're not being thrifty. No, that's all they've got. You understand? They are trying to feed a family your size with $2. 3 billion people on the face of the planet. That's their reality. You feel rich yet? Yes. You feel rich yet? You spent $2, you know, driving through Starbucks already, right? Today. You can't get through Starbucks without spending $5 on one drink. One drink. One drink. $2 a day. It's not even that good. All right. He said it. Based on how most people live in this world, we're very rich. You're richer than 2 billion people, 3 billion people easily. You're rich yet. Get some perspective. You can often tell how rich you are by what bothers you. Right? You've heard of the term first world problems? Oh, yeah, yeah. My shirt I bought on Amazon Prime took more than a few hours to appear on my front door, and I am irate about it. Don't they understand I'm a Prime member? My fast food order, it took too long. And when I got it, they gave me the wrong dippy sauce. I specifically asked for honey mustard, and they gave me barbecue. And we'll get up, and there are people, they will go right back around, and they will yell at that worker, that poor worker, that sweet little poor worker that you have no idea what kind of day they're having. And you're like, where is my dippy sauce? You can tell how rich you are by the weird, how you respond to these things, right? Yeah. But this one's my kids. My phone will not connect to Wi-Fi. What will I do? Oh my goodness. I forgot my Apple iPods, and now I have to manually, physically hold the phone up to my ear like some kind of savage. What am I going to do? This is first world problems. We're rich, y'all. Yes. We're rich. I mean, our biggest struggle is where are we going to eat? Not are we going to eat? You can listen to any song in the world on your phone right now. Isn't that true? You could open up and want to hear any song. I could play it for you. Right now. Do you realize how crazy that is? I can stream just about any movie to you right now. Any kind of entertainment you want. Can play just about any game you want. When you get hungry, you can pull out the same phone and call someone to bring you food. They will Uber you food. You can drive your car. How many drove to church today? Your ability to drive a car puts you in the top 15% wealthiest people on the planet. 15%. Do you realize 85, some of you don't even appreciate the car you have anymore. You actually resent it, and you pull up to a light and there are nicer cars around you and you're angry and you're upset that you don't have a nicer car. 85% of the population wished they would never stop thanking God for what you take so for granted and don't even appreciate anymore. We drive our car past 20 restaurants to go to the one we prefer, where we get to eat a meal. We get to eat a meal that someone else prepared and brought to us. Someone else literally milked the cow. Someone else literally caught the fish, skinned the fish, fried the fish. Someone grew the vegetables, gathered the vegetables, prepared the vegetables. They gathered all the ingredients. They prepared it all for us, and yet we don't feel rich. Perspective.
The good news is you are rich. Can we acknowledge it for a moment? God's blessing in our life has made us abundantly rich. We're financially better off than so many people. I want you to say it out loud today. I am rich. Say it one more time. I am rich. Say it with a smile, with gratitude. I am rich. I don't deserve it, but I am rich. And now if you feel uncomfortable saying that you are rich, I want you to ask yourself today, why do you feel uncomfortable saying that? Why do you feel that way about God's blessing? And maybe you have money in a place that you don't have other things. Do you feel embarrassed to say, I have such a great wife. I have such a great marriage, great kids, great friends. I have no, but there's like an uncomfortable, I'm rich and God's blessed me with money. If you feel uncomfortable with that, you are putting money at a different place than you're putting other things. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 19 says, moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions, wait a second, God gives what? Wealth and possessions? And the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. Wow. Okay, so God gives wealth and possessions. God does not dangle wealth and possessions. He gives wealth and possessions. God is not like this. Now, we treat God like this because this is how we think, this is how the world is. So we think, God, I'll bless you today. I'll praise you today if you just give me money. I'll say no to sin if you just, you know, bless me with a better job. Do you real? That is thinking so lowly of your God. He's a God who gives wealth and gives possessions. He gives them. He doesn't dangle them. He doesn't manipulate them. Can I tell you something? And TV preachers have been the worst at this. The way they preach about giving is a very dangling way to, you need to get your seed offering into the ground. And once you get your seed offering in the ground, then God will bless you. Newsflash, you're blessed already. Yeah. You're blessed already. What does the Bible say? It says you're blessed going in and coming out. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed everywhere. You're blessed already. TV preacher, knock it off with that. You are not helping anybody but yourself. All right. My goodness. God doesn't dangle wealth and possessions like a carrot. God gives it, and he gives it freely. And he actually expects you to be happy, to enjoy them. Happy and enjoy them because it's a gift. How many of you give a gift to your kid and expect them to be embarrassed about it? I gave you this gift. I hope you feel real bad about it. No, I want the kids to go, what? There's a YouTube video you can find of somebody opening a Nintendo 64, and it's epic. This kid, it's like circa 1996 or something, and he's, wow! It's just like, it's a Nintendo 64. His parents were on cloud 9 because they gave him that gift to be happy and to enjoy. And the Father in heaven, he gives you things for you to be happy and to enjoy them. Can we get in a happy and enjoyable spirit and attitude? Thank you, God, for what you've given me. I'm rich and I don't deserve it. It's all a gift of God. It's a gift from God. I am rich. And my goodness, people can get far off into extremes in all of this. I remember once I answered the church phone. The church phone can be an adventure at times. I answered the church phone. And this guy said, I want to know what kind of house you live in. He sounded like an older gentleman. I'm like, well, you've called Redemption Church. How can I help you again? I want to know how big is your house? And this guy just berated me that I was a pastor and that I owned a house and said I should be homeless. And he said, you know, Jesus had no place to lay his head. If you're really a follower of Jesus, you'll have no place to live. I'm like, sir, where are you living so I can sell my house and live with you? I didn't even say that, but I was thinking those snide
things in my head. I'm like, what are you talking about? That being poor doesn't make you more humble, doesn't make you more called of God. No, God gives wealth and he gives possessions. Can I tell you this? You shouldn't be homeless. You listen, you shouldn't be homeless. You should be walking in the blessing and favor of God, all right? And you will run into some people that say, if you really love God, you'll give everything that you have so you have nothing left, and then you'll be poor. That's not the way it works either, okay? Let me just tell you right now. So the good news is you are rich. Everybody clap your hands one more time. It's good news. It's good news. But where there's good news, there's also this bad news. Here's the bad news. Get ready. Here it is. You are rich. No typo. That's the bad news also. You are rich. All right, if I haven't confused you, just give me a moment. I will before it's all done. Being rich actually places you at a spiritual disadvantage. This is what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18, verse 24 through verse 25. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The good news is you are rich, but the bad news is, according to Jesus, you are rich. Why? Well, without like fully unpacking this scripture, right? It's not impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I want to tell you that. That's the short of it. But being rich puts you in a spiritual disadvantage because you already have a roof over your head. You already have food in your pantry, gas in your car, clothes in your closet. And because of your wealth, you have missed out on the blessing of saying this prayer: God, give me this day my daily bread. Some of you think that's a terrible place to be. It is a blessed place to be, in a place where you say, God, I'm depending on you to give me what I need today. That is not a bad place to be. That's a blessed place to be. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today. You're going through hardship. You are needing daily bread today, and you're thinking, because I need daily bread, I might be outside of the will of God. No, the will of God is for you to pray that prayer. Lord, you put the roof over my head. God, you give me this day my daily bread. You provide all my needs. That is a blessed prayer. You pray that prayer. Anybody with me today? Yeah. The good news is you're rich, but the bad news is you are rich. Because being rich is also a distraction. We have so much opportunity and options where we're often distracted from the things that matter most. If you ever have the opportunity to do a mission trip to a developing nation, can I tell you, you should do it. We'd love to help you do that. Here's something that would happen, right? Around day one, you'll be hit with a shocking amount of poverty and need in a third world nation. Your feet will hit the ground and you will be in a culture shock. You will see such poverty and need. You will actually feel guilty because you are seeing everything your lens of you've never had this kind of need and you've never faced this kind of poverty. You will remember all your abundance and you'll be confronted with all the lack. That's on day one. Around day three, you're going to realize that these people actually have something you don't have. You will understand that maybe you are the one that's lacking something because they have a distraction-free time with people. No, none of them are actually staring at their cell phones 24 hours a day. Yeah, but can you believe that? And they actually have healthy relationships. They actually have communion and intimacy with God that we are lacking. And what they don't have is a bunch of stress and a bunch of worry, and they don't have the burden of managing all their stuff. And around day three, you'll start to actually be jealous of what they have. You'll start going, man, I feel bad for what they don't have. And that by day three, you'll be, man, I need what they have. And on day five, you'll just find yourself blown away by their simple
intimate life, you'll see their community and you'll say, I've got to have a community like this. They actually live life together and they have communion with God, and I've got to have that. I've got to have that in my home. That's what you'll see on the mission field. You'll change your whole view. It'll change your whole thought process. Being rich puts you at a spiritual disadvantage. Here's another reason. The more you are given, the more is required. The richer you are, the greater responsibility you bear. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Same chapter, like Luke 12. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. God's blessing is awesome. We've been thanking him for his blessing, but I got to tell you, his blessing carries a heavy responsibility. Culture is trying to lead you with the carrot. I'm sorry, I keep touching this today. Culture keeps trying to leave you with the carrot. It keeps telling you what you don't have is what you need. But Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says this, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. We all know this is true in our heart. I imagine I could get everybody to raise their hand and say, I agree with that. We believe it, but maybe we don't live it. Maybe day to day, sometimes we forget this truth. I would tell you that our actions really reveal what we believe in our heart. Our actions show that we really believe more money and more things will make us happy, because it's what our life revolves around. Call it what it is. The thought that more will make you happy is an absolute lie. Don't believe the lie. The farmer believed the lie. He didn't need more barns. He thought he did. What he needed was more of God. Don't believe the lie that you need just more money, and you need more stuff, and you need nicer, and you need newer. As the notorious B.I.G. prophesied from beyond the grave, he said, mo' money, mo' problems. Amen. And the church said amen. All right. Mo' money is not going to help your kids stay off drugs. In fact, the adverse is true. It's the wealthy suburban areas that actually they find most of the kids are strung out on drugs. They are using daddy's money to go buy the drugs. More money is not going to save your kids from drugs. It's not going to do it. More money is not going to help heal your sick loved one. In fact, the pursuit of more money might just rob you of the time that you do have with the person. More money won't make your depression go away. The number one people that are killed, that are committing suicide, aren't the poverty-stricken. They are the upper class. And everybody down here, all us little people are like, that is so surprising. It's so surprising. No, more money, more problems. More money won't save your marriage. Do not believe the lie. We don't need more of what is temporary. We need more of what's eternal. We don't need more of what is temporary. We need more of what is eternal. And this is so hard for us, but the Bible says the things that are seen are temporary. They are here today and they're gone tomorrow. And how much of our life revolves around the desire of what we see? But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. God's Spirit is eternal. His Word is eternal. His love is eternal. His peace is eternal. The love that we share is eternal. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Faith is eternal. Don't you understand? Faith is what you need. God's going to provide for you this day, and he's going to provide for you tomorrow, and he's going to provide for you all the way through eternity. And what does he tell us? He tells us the sparrow doesn't even think about what's going to happen tomorrow. He just knows that the Father is going to take care of him. Little sparrows, can't we be like that? God gives wealth. It's not wrong to be rich. God gives possessions. It's not wrong to have things. So I'm getting close to an end here. I really want you to know this. Do not feel guilty, but feel responsible. You listen, that's a good word right there. Some of us have felt guilty, guilty, guilty. Some of us have looked on TV and we see, like Children's International, we see the little children running around in the streets and we're like, oh my gosh, those poor kids. And it makes us feel guilty. But guess what? The guilt subsides. What you need to feel is responsible, responsible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. By the way, this is a great scripture for anybody that says God is anti-wealth. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Man, there is so much good in that verse. That is, y'all ought to go home and read that verse over the next few days. So you can hold on to the life that is truly life. Can I tell you, the moment you cut off a carrot, it's dead. It's not truly alive anymore. And so that's the world right here, just dangling dead things. Oh, is it this the life? No, it's not truly the life. This is not the life. And there's so many people that could tell you that this is not the life right here. You need to take hold of the life that truly is the life. And that life is found in Jesus Christ. That life is found in following Jesus. That life is found in doing good works for others. That life is found in the Word of God. Amen. To be generous, to be willing to share. My goodness, we're about to come talk to God in this place. I just feel the need to declare some things, so I hope you will declare them with me. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. Do you agree with that? But I will not trust in my riches. I'm going to trust in the one who provides. I am done having money in the bank, but no peace in my heart. I am done trusting in my stuff and not trusting in God as my provider. I am done buying something that only excites me for a moment, but its glory fades to nothing. Because I have more, I will give more, and I will do more. Because I have more, I will be responsible. But in my responsibility, I will find greater joy, and I will find greater happiness, and I will actually enjoy taking what God has given me to bless others. And I am done doing anything else with my money and my stuff and my time. The temporary things of this world promise, but they do not deliver. God, you deliver. God, you deliver. Your promises, every one of your promises, deliver. God, you are rich, and I'm your son, and I thank you, God, for the richness you have given me, your promises for me. That is what delivers. I want us to read this verse, 1 Timothy 6, one more time, and then I want us to come. Would you please stand on your feet? I really want us to come talk to God in this house. I would love for you to take a step from your chair, come pray around this altar as we sing songs to the Lord. If you want special prayer, come in the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you. If you don't feel comfortable, don't worry. You pray right where you are. We're not trying to make you feel out of place, but we are going to challenge you to take a moment where you talk to God about your money and your things. I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6 with you, and then I'm going to close my eyes and pray. And when I open my eyes, I want to see a church reaching out to God, releasing all of our riches and getting a hold of the life that is truly life and being set free from the burden of money and things. Here we go. In this way, let's go verse, buddy. We got to go verse 17. Command. Verse 17, we're reading it together. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Next verse, 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Verse 19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Come on, let's talk to God in this house. Father, I thank you, God, for all that I have. You are the provider. Father, I am done trusting in my money and done trusting in my provision. I pray for everybody watching and listening online. Lord, they have been blessed with so much. Lord, it's not your will that they feel guilty about it, but that they feel responsible, that they do more than they've ever done, God, that they take that blessing and they do more with it, that it goes further in your kingdom. Father, I pray for every person in this house that they would feel your presence, God, that they would feel the surrender, that they would grab hold of the life that truly is life. Lord, let us do it. Let us be willing to share. God, Lord, I pray for the person that is in need today, God. Lord, it is in your hands, God, to bless them, Lord. I want them to walk into that blessing. I want them to walk, Lord, into that new job. I want them to walk, God, into better finances. Lord, some people needing that house, God, Lord, bless them with that house. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, in Jesus' name, you are the giver of all good things, and we praise you for it right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you. God, Lord, church, let's reach out to the Lord. He's the giver. Let's reach out to him. Let's surrender him. Maybe you just take some time and you thank the Lord for all his blessing. Maybe you're in need. Go ahead and ask him, God. Lord, fill my need, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.